Well, it's just an enormous privilege to be able to go as a messenger for, I know, all 6 million of our fellow citizens and communicate to our people in Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan how immensely grateful we are to them, how very proud we are. I want to report back that, first of all, they are demonstrating incredible competence and proficiency in all that they do, and on a scale that is very hard to imagine if you haven't seen it. Each of the Indiana units I visited was performing an indispensable role, and this, of course, very important in the case of the Guard. A second observation is that transformation of the American military is really proceeding, and I think the active duty people I talked to said they have a whole new outlook about the Guard and reservists. They are full partners in the enterprise there. You can't tell who is what and without asking, except for those who are obviously older. We have Hoosiers there in their 40s and 50s. But they are working seamlessly with their active duty comrades and across services. A very uplifting thing to see. The most important thing I have to report is that it was very obvious to us that absolutely everything that can be done, both to protect and to equip our men and women there, is occurring. As fast as the enemy devises a new tactic or threat, somebody, very often someone from the ranks, thinks of a way to counter it. And in terms of the up-armoring, as they say, of equipment, of new tactics for avoiding trouble, new technologies for avoiding trouble. One of the last people I met was an employee of Crane, who's been part of devising a brand new robot that can take out explosive devices along the roadside. The equipment is first rate, and everything that can be done to minimize both the discomfort and loneliness of what these folks are doing is occurring. Cable television and email links are everywhere. Food is astonishingly good. Now, I don't want to minimize for a minute the difficulty of what's going on or the fact that these folks, many of them are in harm's way. But every Hoosier ought to be incredibly proud of these men and women, what they're doing, the sacrifices they're making. And I especially want to say a word about the National Guard and reservists who are somehow able to juggle family and career and national service in a way that most of us would find very difficult. Sure, it's a war. I ask every soldier I talk to their outlook. I can tell you that unanimously they have a positive sense about their mission. They believe they're doing something important. One of them said to us, our job here is to bring hope. He said, just look at the little school kids with their book bags. Another said to us, I got two sons at home. These people would come there and hurt them if they could. I'd rather fight them over here, and I'll come back if I get the chance. I got a couple of incredible privileges. Spontaneously, I was asked to swear in two separate occasions 13 guardsmen who have decided to extend their enlistments. Even there in this situation, under these conditions, they decided they would serve further. And I got the honor to administer the oath to 3 in one place and 10 in another. And then I was offered the opportunity to award the Purple Heart to an incredibly brave Indiana medic that you've heard about. So all in all, just a wonderful privilege, and I try to do my best to represent what I know are the sincere thanks of every citizen of this state.
Did the president ask you and the other governors to go over there and give him like an extra set of eyes and ears for an independent assessment? How's the origins of the trip, I guess?
I put in for a trip quite some time ago, and it was a matter of finding the right time. Easter, I thought, was a perfect time, and so I'm glad, really, that it took a little while for this one to set up. That said, the president did see that we were briefed before we left and asked us to come back to the White House. We were there for a brief overnight, got a couple hours sleep there, and then had breakfast with him, with Condi, Rice, Secretary Rumsfeld, the Vice President this morning. About an hour's conversation about what we saw.
When did that take place, Governor?
8 o'clock this morning.
Did you feel any danger, personally?
Not that I thought about much. Clearly, this is not a place without some risk. And I spent a lot of time in body armor. Security very, very tight. There had been a rocket attack at the compound in Kabul 4 nights before we got there. You do have to recognize that, first of all, in Iraq, at least two-thirds of the population, 15 of the 18 provinces, are under conditions that are the safest they've probably been since before Saddam became the dictator. Now, we were in Baghdad most of the time, which is not yet fully secure. But I went out to western Iraq to an operating base run in large part by a Hoosier unit, and they feel very safe out there. Patrols can be problematic depending where they're going. But again, I want to stress, we saw the adaptations, the enhancements of safety in the vehicles, in the personal gear, in the training. They had jury-rigged an ingenious device to teach soldiers how to react in the event of a turnover of a Humvee. Sometimes an explosive device or just an accident may flip one. Very easy, first of all, for the gunner up on top to be crushed or trapped. Very easy for people to be disoriented and unable to get out quickly. And many of the new wrinkles that we were shown and told about had been the brainstorm of maybe a specialist or a non-com, somebody from the ranks, a very American approach.
In Afghanistan, did President Karzai have a message for, say, the state of Indiana in particular, or all the governors?
He sure did. It was, please don't go. We heard this from young trainees in the Iraqi elite special forces, and we heard it from the president of Afghanistan and everybody in between. Immense gratitude for what the United States has done to give them a chance at freedom, to have their own countries. And apprehension that before they are fully ready themselves, that we might abandon them. He was very explicit about it. But I will say there's a lot of optimism among the troops I talked to and other Americans, contractors and others that I saw, especially in Afghanistan, which of course is a little further along, but in both countries, that although the transition won't be overnight and it won't be without problems, that both are gaining on this every day. American troop levels are down, and there'll be another recommendation soon, but everyone seemed to believe that you could expect another reduction sometime this year. Iraqi and Afghan armies, as they grow and build, are taking on more of the patrols and some of the more dangerous work, taking over that from Americans. And, of course, NATO is taking over large portions of Afghanistan now. So the burden's being shared more widely every day.
Did you check in with the status of General Hayden?
I did ask, and I was given no news. No one has a new lead.
Governor, what cost your trip?
I haven't any idea.
Any concern at all about the cost of people like you going over there? I've had a surprising number of callers from the the stories I've heard about you going over there call me and want to know how much the
federal
government paid for you to go.
Well, I guess it's a legitimate question. Now, congressmen by the squadron have gone, and I find that appropriate, too. But I don't really think that it's out of line for governors with the assignments we have of responsibility for the National Guard to make such a visit. I do think that we have legitimate questions to ask, make sure that the kind I've discussed, make sure that our people are being used well and treated well. And I hope we were able to, again, to add value by communicating the goodwill and love of everybody at home. But everyone would have to judge for themselves if that was well spent or not.
Governor, a little closer to home, in the past couple of weeks, had two major lawsuits filed against the state of Indiana, one regarding the toll road. Another lawsuit is going to be filed tomorrow by the Teachers Association regarding the school funding formula. Any thoughts on either one of those two?
No, not today.
Tomorrow, maybe?
Soon. Yeah.
Governor, the backdrop of your trip here in the States was the general, the retired generals, questioning the troop levels. So there's the book Cobra 2 that gets into all that. What do Hoosiers need to know about that? What did you learn? And I guess a follow-up question would be, how much of a grip can you get on a situation in just a day or two?
Yeah.
When it's very, we all know it's extremely complex.
Well, I'm not going to, my purpose in going and my report coming home has nothing to do with the wisdom of the original policy. I'm not going to, those are national debates for others to have. I will just say that not one soldier brought up any of these questions to me or to any of the other governors, as far as I know. And their outlook seems to be positive as to the mission and in general as to the progress that they're making. And as to the adequacy of the provision being made for them, and you're right, end to end, this was maybe a 6-day trip, and there's a limit to what you can learn. But we spent all day, every day, covered a lot of ground, and it was just I've got stacks of cards and notes. I'll be making a lot of phone calls the next few days.
I was going to ask you that. Did any of the soldiers ask you to do anything for them? Did you know, give you anything to take back with you?
Just lots of messages, which I solicited, but also there were some, I kept asking about other things we could do. I've got a couple of leads about things that we could work on back here to make the soldiers' life a little easier. Make it easier to get a driver's license renewed is one. Running up to the other end, there are states which do not tax veterans' pensions. And I said we'd have a look at what that could mean, whether that was something we could possibly do in Indiana.
Monday was tax day. Did you file your taxes before you left, or did you get an extension?
I think the answer is I think we had to get an extension. Everything was together, but I believe that there must have been some reason we need a few more days.
Governor, we got word about an hour and a half ago that the Vice President was going to be here on Friday for a short visit. Can you shed any light on that, and do you plan to be at that event?
He's coming at the request and for the benefit of the Republican National Committee. Wasn't our plan or invitation, but he's coming, and I'm going to show him the respect of being there.
Not for any specific candidate?
No, this is to benefit the National Committee, and there are folks in the state who would like to do that, so he's going to come to give them that opportunity. And as I'll show him the respect that we would always show to somebody in that situation. Well, I'm enthusiastic about the fact that he's out working for a cause I consider a good one.
What is the ticket price to this?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. Do you know how many people are attending?
I don't know that either.
Columbia Club?
No, it was set up on fairly short notice. I first learned of it, oh, maybe 2 weeks ago, or a little less. So.
Indianapolis Business Journal had a story this week about the NFL and Indianapolis Colts. The owners all agreeing to only grant exclusive rights to broadcast by sideline games and stadiums to ESPN, ABC, and the local TV guys. You know, could be before the game, but then get off the field. They didn't come back afterwards. But the Colts stadium being a public facility that, you know, you lobbied for, the taxpayers paid for. Do you have any thoughts on for the NFL to be allowed to let the local guys stay off the field during games or?
Well, Abdul, in all honesty, if this story got to Kabul, I didn't hear it. So give me a day to catch up to the news, and I'll try to have something useful to say.
We just spoke to a former captain, and while he applauded your trip over there, he wanted to know if you were going to use your relationship with the president to try to say anything on behalf of some soldiers who are starting to wonder or question, you know, is when will the time be for them to come home, and maybe the time is starting to come. Will you use your relationship with the president to try to speak on behalf of some Hoosier families, including the former captain who, you know, felt this way?
No. I gave the president because he asked, as did the other governors. Two of us Republicans, two Democrats, very consistent reports. And I don't doubt that with 132,000 people in one country and a large number in the other, it's not that there are folks who have misgivings. But I'm not here to make national policy. I'm here to try to make sure that Indiana expresses its pride and gratitude to its people, and that the Indiana National Guard in particular is well looked after. And I do feel that these days were well spent in that respect.
Also, while you were gone, Governor, the Secretary of State began investigating a couple of election companies, and there seemed to be a lot of issues with election machines and election voting systems and whether or not they're certified. And I think there are also some questions about the statewide voter registration list. I just wonder if you have any concern about whether the elections or the primaries going to be able to go off without much of a hitch.
Honestly, Leslie, I need to catch up to these facts, too. As far as I know, we'll have an election, and we've had a lot of fraud in Indiana in the past. We've had problems before, and I hope they'll be minimal this year, but I don't know at this stage whether to expect any more or any less difficulties.
Will you release your taxes, both federal and state?
Yeah.
Governor, do you have any plans, or have you been asked to make any campaign appearances for legislative candidates prior to the primary?
Yes, I'm appearing at one for Mary Kay Budak tomorrow night.
And did you say where?
It's in La Porte, pretty sure. Who knows? Am I right?
Is that the only in?
Who knows the answer to that? Is it not in La Porte?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Excuse me, is that the only one in Northern
Indiana? Before the primary, I think so. There are a lot of other invitations, but as far as I know, that's the only one before the primary.
Why did you decide to get involved in that? Was it because she voted for Major Moose and not again for you?
I think she voted for a lot of the reform agenda, and she asked me to. And I think she's a hardworking, effective member, and I was happy to say yes.
Back to Afghanistan, if I can, really quickly. Did you get any sense while you were over there that there might be some opportunities for Indiana companies, Indiana as a state, to maybe do business with some of these countries as they work to reconstruct?
Oh, one day. Both these countries have to build an economy. In the case of Afghanistan, there's really not been one. And but they're incredibly industrious people. You could see that when you ask our soldiers, they would tell you this. And they're well led at this point. Iraq was Saddam wrecked that country. In some cases, purposely. Drained the marshes of what was once the breadbasket of the area simply as a punishment to a faction that he considered not supportive enough. So there's a long, long way to go. I will say this. I think there's a Each of us governors came back very interested in the idea of trying to stimulate more direct assistance, humanitarian and otherwise, from our states. Our universities, I think, have great possibilities. I ran into one Purdue agricultural economist over there, and I plan to talk to our schools about doing much more of that. Student exchanges could be, I think, extraordinarily valuable. And so I think private sector and our nonprofit sector may have more to contribute in the near term than businesses do.
One more question on Afghanistan, and that is, I've heard that one of the biggest threats is not so much, say, from terrorists as it is from the drug trade, that Afghanistan has the potential to essentially be run, taken over by the poppy trade. Did you see any signs of that when you were over there?
Well, I think that would grossly exaggerate that potential, but it's a problem down in particularly in the southern part of the country. Eradication has proceeded, but it's uneven, and there's more to do there. And there is still narco-terrorism there, in addition to al-Qaeda, in addition to the remnants of the Taliban.
What do you think of recharge your engines? No hints from you.
Restart your
engines. Restart your engines, sorry.
Lieutenant Governor, what's it like to have the governor out of the country and in some of the most dangerous parts of the world.
And yet, maybe he could first answer. What do you think of restart your engines?
Well, I like it. But what I like more is I did ask Becky to make sure they'd done all they could to get input from as many directions as possible, because I never trust my instinct about these things at all. And it seems that they did that. And gathered advice and reactions, tried all sorts of other ideas. I think they ran a good open process, and there's probably never going to be such a slogan or catchphrase that everybody likes, but my guess is they've done the best they can and come up with a good answer.
The winner that already epitomizes our state. I think Kentucky was a good example with unbridled spirit. If you ask most Americans who has the slogan unbridled spirit, they would point to Kentucky, and it's the same with restart your engines. It's easily recognizable as conveys many messages: relaxation, rejuvenation, re-energizing, not only a reference to our motorsports throughout the state of Indiana.
All right. Thank you very much.
All